Does anybody believe the message of this holy book will get us to heaven? Firm and believe that. It's not a popular, let me word this right, it's probably had more copies given away and sold than any book in this whole world. I mean, knows that. But the words in there, this is not stories. It's not fictional. It's life inspired by God. I mean, likes to be inspired by God. Amen. So we're thankful for this Bible that as youngsters that we've heard and read. And I really believe this, that we in America are so spoiled. It's nothing. Bible is not as important to us as it is to someone in Africa. I've heard true stories, true happenings of friends of ours that have been over there to distribute Bibles, and they just would run and stand in line just to get a little testament that most of us have got several of, and a lot of kids have got them and don't even want them. And then some folks in our government won't allow them to be handed out to schools. God help them. Somebody that would come against this book, I mean, knows what the ultimate end is going to be for somebody against this Bible. And we see that. Let me look up Revelation chapter 2. Anybody hear John Hagee this morning? I don't feel so bad now with things I have said. It's time to stand for what this word says. It will not be popular. There's people in our community right now that know my name, know who I am, that I, as far as I know, have never talked to them, and they know where I stand. If folks don't know where you stand, then be careful where you're standing. If they don't realize what you stand for and what you stand against, and it must line up with this word. And when it lines up with this word, I'm not standing alone. I mean, knows that. Brother Hagee was talking about how that he had been sued for Islamic comments he had made. And I think he said $10 million is what he'd been sued for. Had to hire lawyers to take care of that and go on and so forth. And I totally agree. He said, if you don't know who the enemy is, how can you fight against the enemy? And I'm not here to repeat Brother Hagee's message, but I am thankful. I don't know. I may have heard this comment from him, but he made a statement that I've made. When it comes down to voting and things along that line, we need to vote for those that stand for the most that we possibly can stand for this Bible. Hello? I'm not promoting a political party, but I am promoting this Bible because this will make us to heaven. If we don't follow this, it'll make us to hell. Folks don't want to talk about things like that, but if we do not follow this book, we will not make heaven. Amen. How many wants to make it to heaven? Praise God. If you got to Revelation chapter 2 found, stand with me. Oh, you're going to be excited this morning. I got my glasses. I look back over some of that I read last Sunday, and I don't know how many verses I missed. Lord, forgive me. So this does help. I don't promise I will not miss a word, but I will hopefully do better. Revelation chapter 2. I have been preaching the last several weeks, except for one, on a lot of these last few weeks on these different ones of these seven churches of Asia here. And I'm going to preach this morning on Ephesus in verse 1 of chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which saith they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne and hast patient, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick from out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for this service. And Lord, you recognize the battles that we battle day in and day out. Father, right now, we thank you for victory. I plead the precious blood of your Son over this office over this service today, over our minds today. Lord, we praise you for victory. Lord, I pray that there's one here that doesn't know you, that you will touch their hearts and continue to tug at their heartstring. Strengthen those that might be down. And Lord, we want to praise you and thank you. Anoint us to say what you want said this morning. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. Thank you for standing. Now, as we have talked about these churches, we preached on lukewarm a couple Sundays ago and brought out the fact that this is not talking about someone that is lost and undone, that does not know Jesus as a Lord and Savior. These messages are to the church. Now, folks, how many knows that the church is a key to what's going on in our world today? Anybody with me? Praise God. It needs to start behind the pulpit. We can blame this and blame that. This word needs to be preached uncompromised and not waver from what we know the word says. How many believes that this morning? This particular church of Ephesus found themselves in a position that they were sound in doctrine. They'd done a lot of the right things. They were against a lot of the right things. And there was a foundation was doing things right. And the Nicolaitans was someone that come from a group that was, Nicholas was a leader of this. And they believed in perversion. They believed that adultery and fornication, there was no things. And it was a false doctrine that was being preached. And they said, Jesus said to them, said, I see that you're against that. But there was something missing in their mix of their church. Amen. Now, realize this, church, that we must be sound in what we believe. And I will say this, and before I go any farther, I'm not preaching a denomination. I will stand here and tell you, I believe, and this is Eddie chapter 1, I believe a lot of denominational beliefs can send your soul to hell because, listen, folks, there's not any one office up there in heaven that's going to be labeled a Pentecostal or a Baptist or a Church of Christ. It won't be there in heaven. Is anybody with me? But there is one thing we cannot ever waver from, and the word says that Jesus said we must be born again. It must be that Jesus' blood was shed that we might have life and have life more abundantly. How many is glad for the blood? So we got to be born again. Call yourself what you want to. Doesn't matter, but you must be born again. Praise God. So this church in Ephesus had something going on. They were against the evil of the world. How many is against the evil of this world? I've had a lot of things thrown at me in the last few weeks and talked about, asked about, and so on and so forth, in which everybody knows the issue that we're dealing with in our county in the next month, and it happens to do with the alcohol issue. And folks, I tell you, I don't feel like I'm better than anybody else because I don't drink, but I can never stand for this particular subject. And then somebody said, no, you're getting too political. You're going to have to quit being political. Now, listen to me. Praise God. We're going to have to be biblical. How many wants to be biblical? Amen. Anybody with me? So we got to stand when things are wrong. And somebody asked me the other day that I work with, said, are you talking a lot about this out in the community? I said, if somebody asks me about where I stand, I will tell them. I'm not broadcasting and running down the streets, go dry, go dry. I said, if you come into our house, you're going to know this is the place that God called me right here. This is where God called me to preach His Word. He called me to shepherd this group of people. And folks, you're going to know exactly where I stand and what God has put in my heart. How many believes that's the way it should be? I will never, ever. Now, if I'm asked out there in the community and somebody around me and somebody says something on where you stand, I can tell you, I will tell them in a heartbeat where I stand on this issue. Praise God. I can never stand for it. Now, this church that we're studying about here, we're preaching about in Revelations chapter 2, Church of Ephesus, was a lot like that. They were standing against the things that were wrong. They were standing against sin. But there was something wrong with that church. He said, you've left your first love. Has anybody here realized that it's going to be difficult not getting involved in some touchy stuff today? How many likes to see the preacher get in a place that he can have problems? Amen. Now, here we go. They left their love. Now, is anybody here born again? Blood bought? How many remembers that when you first got saved? Now, if you go back to when you first got saved, let me give you an example of when I first got saved. I got saved, amen, when I was about, I can't remember exactly the age, I was about 10 or 12 years old, over in a little church on the hill above Silver Valley Road back there, Pentecostal Tabernacle's the name of that church now. Brother Clayton Hogue was pastoring there, Brother David Sheckle's grandpa, and that's where the Holy Ghost got a grip on my life, and I got born again. And I got a little more than just born again at that age. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, folks, I got an old-time slam dunk. Anybody ever been there? I lost my tongue. I tell you, I got a feeling of the Holy Ghost in that meeting when I was when I got saved. And let me tell you what happened. I remember I was in the sixth grade, and I had a dear preacher that was my sixth grade teacher. And his name, I think he's passed away now. His name was Arthur Anderson. He was a Baptist preacher, pastor of church out on Union Road out there. And I come into school that morning. Of course, that was back when you could say the Pledge of Allegiance. That was back when Mr. Anderson would get up and pray before class. How many remember those days? Can I tell you right now, the teachers may not be able to do as much as they used to could, but I can tell you right now, young people, you can still pray. How many is glad for the opportunity to still pray? Brother Bobby, I went in there at that classroom and Mr. Anderson was there. I didn't know the difference in a Baptist and a Pentecostal and a Church of Christ. All I knew is I had something. I went up to Mr. Anderson. I said, Mr. Anderson, I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You'd sit back and think, my Lord, you couldn't tell a good Baptist brother about getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. I didn't know no different. I didn't know I was supposed to be saying something different. Mr. Anderson hugged me up and he said, that's great, son. He never said anything negative. He was proud because he knew that I had received something from God. Now, from that day, and there was a lot of years in between, I loved the Lord. There was a lot of things I didn't know. How many knows that? I had a lot of things about the Word, about Jesus, about serving God. When I first got saved, Brother Danny, I didn't know what all to do. Has anybody ever been there? Was it you just all born super spiritual? Anybody with me? Okay. All right. Is everybody ready? Attitude check. That's not bad. Attitude check. Now give me a smile whether you want to or not. That's good. That's good. You see, I had something happen to me there, and there was something great that happened on that day with the Danny. And my life, can I tell you right now, my life was never the same since. Now, was that love that I had and that desire and that excitement, sometimes it kind of changes a little bit as time goes on. Has anybody ever experienced that? Now, I'm going to get in here just to the minute about three different things that can affect your love for the Lord and things that can put us in a place that can cause that love to begin to dwindle. Now, you say, preacher, I don't know. That just don't happen that way. Now, how many has ever realized this? Now, I think it's bumping on a year now. Has anybody ever seen any newlyweds? Well, Brother Wesley's back there and his sweet little newlywed bride is sick today. Isn't that correct? And I look back there and I know some of the married people just say, oh, that's just sickening. They come out there and I try to get her to say something bad about him or something. I said, that old stinking boy or something. I said, that old crazy guy you got with you. Oh, he's wonderful. I'm thinking, get out of here. Don't let my wife hear that. He's just so wonderful. And I think, golly, come on. He's not perfect. Of course, I'll brag on what a beautiful wife he's got. And it just, you know, it just it goes on. You look at that now. Now listen, that's the honeymoon part there. I look back there and you can't tell. She's got her head on his shoulder and he's got her hugged up. And, hello. Yeah, everything's great. Nothing can go wrong. No problems to arise. He said, you're doing everything right. Somebody said something funny back here, and I missed it, I guess. If y'all going to talk, grab a microphone here. Look at that. Look at Sandra and Ellen back here. My Lord, they're 6 foot between them. You know what happens is this. It goes from this. We've been married for a pretty good little while ourselves, and it goes from this. I'm just kind of forewarning you, Brother Wes. It goes from this. Honey, would you like a glass of water? And she comes and brings, here, dear, here's that glass of water. Even put you some ice in there. And then as time goes on, and you get to thinking you're starving to death for something to drink. And now y'all just bear with me. And it goes from honey, are you thirsty? To honey, why are you thirsty? You're not thirsty. What? You don't need nothing to drink. Go get it. I'm just teasing. What happens is we get comfortable in where we're at. Because I know one thing. If there's anything below, I know my Lord and Savior. If there's anything I know in this world is that this woman loves me. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. She's smiling. I know that. Now, I hate to tell you this, but there's been times that she said to me that she didn't know for sure whether I did. Hello? Now, there can be things that can cause that. There can be the simple fact that in our walk with God, that the devil will try to convince you that the Lord doesn't love you, when in reality he does. I mean, knows that. First thing he'll tell you, boy, you mess up. He don't, Lord Jesus, Lord don't love you. How could he love you? How many's ever heard that in your mind? There's no way that the Lord loves you. And you know what? Here's the deal. I can tell her that I love her. I can say, honey, I love you. Y'all have heard me say, not only when I pray sincerely, she'll tell me, you didn't say that sincerely. And boy, when she says that, I don't think there's any way in the world I can say, I'll say, honey, I love you. Then I'll say, honey, I love you. She'll say, that's not sincere. Honey, I love you. That's not sincere. Now, I'm not saying she's hard to please, but I'm just saying that I'm just not saying it right. But here's what happens is, you can say it all you want to, but in her case, she's looking at how you're acting. Can I tell you right now, the Lord is looking at how you act towards him. Sure, I'm against these sins. Sure, I'm standing against these things. But what's my relationship? How am I acting towards my Lord and Savior? Three things here I'm going to touch on real quick that can affect your love for the Lord. First thing is this. Self-centeredness will have an effect on your love for the Lord. Has anybody ever seen somebody get saved and they don't want to get saved because they're afraid of things they're going to have to give up? Anybody ever heard that? Well, I'm just not through living the way I want to, Brother Danny. I'm just got some things, you know. And they know exactly that if when we get saved and born again, old things pass away. So there's a change that takes place in their lives, contrary to what some interpretations of this word, some people might try to teach to you, that you can live the way you want to and everything be all right. That's not the way the Bible says it. We must be born again. We must live according to God's word. And son, listen to me, sir and ma'am. If you found yourself in your marriage and you said, well, I told her, I said, you know, hey, honey, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Yeah, you're my wife and nothing's changed. I do what I want to. If you don't like it, lump it. Well, get ready for the lump. Jesus said, I got something against you. You've left your first love. Self-centeredness and all about me will have an effect on your walk with God. Now listen, those in the ministry, I think about Brother David Owens that has been out there, and he's not the only one. He's preached and preached and preached and preached. He's gone more than his home, and I can tell you right now, that's a sacrifice. That is not some kind of high political feel good. That's an absolute sacrifice. Away from his family, and I've been fortunate enough to be just in the pastorship and that type of ministry, and I've been able to see and be with my family, and that's a blessing. But God called him in a different direction. And listen to me, can I tell you this also? You're going to have to realize this, that you can't live your life and it be all about you. That's not how it's going to work, and that will not ever work when our relationship with God is in jeopardy, when it's all about me. Self-centeredness will destroy a marriage. Why is that? Because when we got married, he said that the man can leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they become what? One. And folks, if we think as a church body and as an individual that we can live and not be one with Christ, we're fooling ourselves. This is not a social club. How many knows that? This is not some kind of gathering for somebody to have some kind of name. This is all about the cross. This is all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not woe unto me. You hurt my feelings, or you said, that's not what it's about. This is not about me. This is about him. Amen. Works the same way. When you put somebody ahead of yourself, amen, you'll find this out. God will bless you. Praise God. He will do just that. And, as again I said, Brother David, you know, he's lost things. He's not ever going to be around to recoup things as far as family growing up. But God will bless him. But it was a sacrifice. And there's no way he could be self-centered and continue to do that, because it was a call that God gave his life. How many knows this is not about us? Anybody with me this morning? Second thing that happened. The second thing that will happen that will absolutely make a difference in our love for the Lord and our walk with God is that simply this. There's a seducing spirit out there in this world, trying by the powers of the demonic powers of this world. Somebody says, I don't believe in demons. Well, suit yourself, but there's a force out there that's demonic, trying to destroy homes, trying to destroy minds, trying to destroy families, and can I tell you right now, doing a pretty good job of it. Things that you would never expect to hear, we see it on a daily basis. Things that we would think would never happen, you see it happen every day. Day after day, after day, after day. I touch on him probably more than I should, but a friend of mine that got hooked on pornography on the internet, he told me, he said, just started off so small. I'm talking about a seducing spirit that will draw you away from the love of God. If I found myself, this is what I say, and I, as a pastor especially, I don't think you can be too cautious and with relationships and things that can go on. You got to be careful. Anybody with me this morning? And I can tell you right now, if there was something started coming on and I started to do something and I was out of line in what I said or things I'd done with another lady, it would not take long for this lady to speak up. How many believes the Lord will speak up when we get out of line? He doesn't want us out there courting and courting the world. Anybody understand what I'm saying this morning? Y'all off of quiet, but that's okay. I'll just preach a little louder. Here's what happens is this. That seducing spirit begins to try to draw you away. How many remember Samson? He was told very specifically, he said, to not get involved with those around about him, and he was set apart. Praise God. He was a Nazarene, Brother Barney, and he was set apart not to get in. What's he do? He gets involved with Delilah. He finds himself laying his head over in her lap. And as time goes on, you know what happened? She finally figured out that the Lord had his strength in his hair, and they cut his hair. And why did that happen? It was because he was drawn away, seduced by the things of this world. Now, I think we've got to be very cautious as Christians. I think we've got to be very, very cautious as Christians. Can I say that again? I think we better be very, 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 very cautious as Christians in what we get involved in. I touched on a few things last week. We better be careful as Christians on what we watch on TV. We better be careful on what we allow our kids to hear. What we listen to is going to have an effect on us. There is a seducing power out there that will affect your love. Now listen, if some dummy was to get off and get to go in the wrong direction and find themselves, and I can use me and my wife as an example, so that way nobody gets mad at me. She's over here saying, I don't know about that. Might be somebody get mad at you for so with. If I do something silly and begin to do something inappropriate and begin to be drawn away, amen, there's going to be something happen. That love is going to be affected. That relationship is going to be affected. Are you hearing me this morning? If we find ourselves, and if I get in that place, it will be affected, folks. Now listen, he said there's something can happen. Just because that happens doesn't mean it can't be brought back together. Can I have a witness? He just simply said, repent, do your first works over. I'll make you be an overcomer. How many wants to be an overcomer? So many times people have made mistakes and done the wrong things and just give up and don't try to get back to God. That's the wrong thing to do. There's not a one of us standing here and saying, I can't stand here and say, I've never left the love of God. I've always been what God wanted me to be. I cannot say that. I have done things I should not do, but God has been a God that would restore me and put it back together. Seduced and pulled and drawn away. Our children are being seduced by this world right now. They are some of the most unbelievable things I have ever seen or I have ever thought of that I can't even comprehend that's going on in our world today to pull our kids away from God. And they're going to look back and say, oh, the Lord's going to look down and say, there's something wrong here. You've left your first love. I ask again, you remember when you first got saved, first got born again, God done a work in our lives. And here we find the third thing that we're going to see, and I believe there's more things out here, and it's simply this. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20, I want to read that for you real quick. Genesis 28 and verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob vowed a vow. The third thing that I believe that has a tremendous effect on our love for God is we don't take our vow seriously. Here's a sad thing in our world today. Now let me make this statement real quick. I realize there are things that happen that can cause, and many folks are great friends of mine, and I've been involved and I've seen it happen, have been involved with divorce. And I'm not here standing up here saying it's okay, it's great. But I understand it happens. So don't take me wrong on this. I'm not saying that someone that's divorced is going to go to hell. I'm not saying that at all. That's between you and God. You just keep praying, get your relationship right with God, and that's where we got to have to walk. But I'm not standing here promoting this. I'm saying this. I believe in Christian, in the church world. I can surely talk about the church world. In the church world, I really believe this, that there are many people that enter into a vow in a marriage and say, if it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. Can I tell you right now, if I was in percentage, had a percentage to know, the percentage of that not working is going to be very, very high. Have me and this sweet lady on the front row had problems and issues in 21 years? Yep, sure have. Has anybody read where the word says when you get saved, you won't have no troubles? If you can find that scripture for me, I'd be glad to preach on it. But I hadn't found it. But I have found it, said he'd go with us. The third thing that I'm talking about here this morning that will have an effect on losing your first love for God is not keeping the vow that you made with him. Well, I'll try to serve him. If it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. Can I tell you right now, his love for you is unconditional. Now, we're not that way. We're a lot of times, we are in this position here, and I don't know that this is a good way to be. It's simply this: if you treat me right, I like you. If you don't, then tough stuff. Attitude check. Woo, boy, it's going good this morning. Here's what happens. I say, I'm going to keep the vow unconditionally. God looked down, Brother Eldon, and he looked at me and said, I love you no matter whether you love me or not. Sister Sandra, that's how God does that. He doesn't look and say, well, okay, Eddie, if you love me, then I'll love you. That's not how God does it. Can I tell you what, folks? Our lives would be much easier in our Christian walk if we take on those same principles. I'm going to love you no matter what's happened. I'm going to pray for you no matter what's going on. Hallelujah. Preaching good now. Amen. A vow that is going to have to be kept. Scripture also says it's better not to take one and make one than to make a vow and break it. So how many wants to realize that this love of God is going to have to be real? Does anybody love the Lord? How many is going to stand against sin? How many believes that His word is true? Three things I talked about this morning. Go home and pray about it. You disagree with everything I've said this morning? Go home and pray about it. Let God straighten me up if I'm wrong. Three things that will affect your love of God and your walk with God is being self-centered, all about you. It'll destroy your mind. You'll be a miserable person. If your world spins around you, I can tell you right now, you're not happy. I've seen some of the most unhappiest people that you couldn't whip them into a smile. We heard a testimony from a guy that Brother Frank gave us a tape of. Brother Ellen, did you hear that tape? This old boy that went through college, and all he had was a head knowledge. And folks, head knowledge will not get you anywhere but miserable and to hell. But he finally got a heart knowledge. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's funny. But he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and you know, he just found himself. He said, this is what he said. He said, I have to try to be in a bad mood. I think that's what he said, wasn't it? Hello? Anybody like to try to be in a happy mood? Attitude check. Anybody love the Lord this morning? I can tell you right now, in spite of where you're at, I don't know where you're at this morning, but in spite of what's going on in your life, God still loves you. Can I tell you right now, I sent somebody a message to tell you this: a storm doesn't last forever. It may be storming like all get out around your house, but I can tell you somewhere the sun is shining. Anybody want to get back to where the sun's shining at? Woo, glory. Oh, praise God. It ain't near as bad as you think it is this morning. It's going to be all right. Hello? Anybody love the Lord back there? What's happened to us? Have we lost our love for the Lord? Can I tell you right now, the love I have for my Lord and Savior is greater than anything that I might go through in this life. Nothing. How many knows the scriptures were nothing? Perils and sorrows and all that, nothing can separate me from the love of God. How many's glad for that this morning? It doesn't matter what goes around me. It doesn't matter where I've failed or what's happened. He still loves me. Self-centeredness, seducing power of this world. The devil will set a trap for you to fall into. How many's ever seen that? But anybody ever read the scripture where it says we're not ignorant of his devices? You ought to know it's the devil fighting. Somebody says, how's the church going? I said, we're doing great. God's on our side. Got a battle going. Somebody said, you got a battle going on? God's on our side. Anybody have God on your side? You got these things to face in life. Can I tell you right now, the devil will try to sow seeds that will cause problems. Hello? Do you know what he'll do? He'll do the same thing in a marriage. Something to try to cause problems. But you know what? And this is what I like. I say this and I'll say it till I die. I've got to be forgiving to her as much as I am to you. Hello? I've also not only got to say it from here, but mean it from here. Hello? Boy, you weren't expecting this morning, was you? See, good thing is, every Sunday morning and Sunday night, she don't have a clue what I'm going to preach. Sometimes I don't until I get here. Lord, don't tell me. Anybody love him this morning? Lost our first love. Between now and the end of this service, you pray about this, whether you feel anything or not. You ask him about your relationship. You don't have to ask him. You know your relationship with him. You know exactly if you're putting him first and foremost in your life. You know exactly if he can look down and tell by your actions throughout the day, do you love him? You don't have to have somebody tell you. You know whether you're serving him with your whole heart or just giving him the crumbs. Oh, God. He said, you've done well in your doctrine. You've done well in standing against those things wrong. But I got something against you. You're not loving me like you should. You're walking astray. You're not spending the time with me like you should. I've kind of made kind of an effort in the last few weeks to put more of him. You say, you ought to. I'm a preacher. You've got that right, but you ought to. You're a Christian. Trying to put more of his word and more of his atmosphere in my life. Can I tell you right now, it will make a difference in your life when you begin. Listen, when you're first married and first thing, you know, my Lord, you don't have to ask somebody. Can I tell you right now, we're going to have to get back to serving God and loving him like we did when we first got saved. I can tell you this right now. There ain't nothing anybody going to say or do that's going to affect my love for her. Ooh, I'm preaching real good now. Folks will leave the church and quit the church and not come back because of something somebody said. All I can say is God help them. I can tell you right now, they can persecute me or say things about me, make fun of me and mock me, but it's not going to affect me and my love for my Savior. Because it goes farther and it goes deeper than what's around me. It goes back to the fact that I love him for who he is. I've decided and I know that I've made a vow. Can I tell you right now, it's not optional for me to go back and sin. How about you? Don't even entertain the thought to go back. Instead, there's people in this world today that'll come into the house of God like this. And the Lord will tug at your heartstrings. Come by and kind of put his arm around you and let you know he loves you. Are you with me? There's people running rampant throughout this world because they will not make a commitment. How many knows that? Just don't want to make a commitment. Another day or another time. He said in Jeremiah 31, he said, "With an everlasting love, I've drawn you." He's got his arms wide open. Brother Larry, he's drawing people in. And they find themselves in a place that they say, another time. But he loves us. He loves us this morning. Stand with me if you would. We could have a song this morning. I want you to go back. And I want you to think about your relationship with God this morning. I said this morning, this is about church. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it's very simple. You're lost without God. You're lost. There's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. How many knows that this morning? We got a brother standing back there, baptized him just a few weeks ago. Born again, blood bought. How many? Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise for Brother Stephen back there. He told me when I get back in town, he said, "I want you to baptize me." And we broke in the new baptistry over there here a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. And thank God for that. I tell you, God is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. And what happens is this, church. We need to realize that God is calling us and drawing us by His Spirit. But if we've never accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, then we're not lost. We're not saved. We're lost. But if you're here this morning, born again, blood bought, then it's for you and I to ask ourselves on how our walk is with God. Do we still love Him? Are we still serving Him? Is He still first and foremost in our life? And only you can answer that. Are you allowing things around you to affect your walk with God? If you are, pray that God will help you overcome. He said, "I'll give you an overcoming. I'm not going to be self-centered. I'm not going to allow the things of this world to draw me away. And when I make a commitment, I'm staying with you, Lord. I am hooked up to serve you for the rest of my life. In my life." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, this morning, thank you for this service. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we pray this morning, God, that you would move in those lives in this congregation. My Lord, we recognize the power of darkness. They would try to clutter our minds and distract us from serving you. But Lord, if there's one here that's backed up on you, Lord, not serving you like they should, Lord, we just pray that you'll touch their hearts this morning. Maybe lost and undone, never accepted you, Lord. This is their day, and we'll praise you for it in your precious name. As they begin to sing this morning, would you come?